Washington, D.C. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, we discuss the New York Times best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore.
Now my heart is crying.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I can't stand to see this evil anymore.
And now your host, Dan Bennett.
Hey everyone, welcome to the broadcast, Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen folks, we've got a very special broadcast for you today. Last week, the four authors of the new book that is now the New York Times bestseller, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, we're all in studio together. Their studios were linked. Of course, it's Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Skip Ash, and David French. And folks, I wanted to take this opportunity today to play part of that interview for you, part of the discussion that they had talking about the origins of this book, why they decided to write the book, and what they hope to accomplish with it. Again, the book is Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. You can find more information online at riseofisis.com. Let's go ahead and jump right into this interview with the four authors of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore.
Welcome to this very special broadcast, everyone. We're coming to you from the studios of our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. That is the center, by the way, at Oxford that we developed the papers that ultimately became the book Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, now available in bookstores everywhere. Already, by the way, on the New York Times bestseller list for ebooks. In fact, the very first week it was out, it was on both the ebook list and the ebook and print list, and we didn't even have a print list print book out yet. So now it is out on paperback literally around the country. We encourage you to buy multiple copies. We want to make sure it gets on the paperback New York Times bestsellers list. Again, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We've gone through a couple of the chapters here, but I wanted to go to the third chapter because I think it's important to understand the nature of the conflict that we're in. We call ISIS, in Chapter 3, the world's most ruthless and powerful jihadist army. David, you served in Iraq. You have faced jihadist army. That's a bold statement we're making. Let's back this up now with the evidence.
Absolutely. What happened last summer is ISIS crossed the border into Iraq and then immediately routed two full divisions, according to some reports, two full divisions of Iraqi army troops that were equipped with American weaponry. They immediately captured all of that weaponry, which included up-armored Humvees, which included artillery, which included even tanks. So all of a sudden, ISIS went from a conventionally armed jihadist army to a jihadist army armed with some of the most advanced weaponry in the world.
Skip, does that make ISIS different than Al-Qaeda?
It does make ISIS different from Al-Qaeda. Although Al-Qaeda used some sophisticated items in their fight, they had nothing like a traditional army. We have now an army in the Islamic State, this ISIS army, that has the traditional equipment. You know, the United States equipment is among the best equipment in the world. The tanks are the best in the world. They now have this equipment. If they learn how to use this, and it looks like they are learning how to use it relatively quickly, that puts them, and they're dedicated and they won't retreat, that puts them in an advantage in that area of the world. The Iraqi army is melting away as if it has nothing. The Syrian army is already engaged in the civil war. Now we have a threat to, they are on the border with Turkey. Now we have a threat to Jordan, which is one of the most stable countries in the Middle East. They've even threatened to go into Mecca and destroy the Kaaba, the black stone in the main mosque in Mecca. So this is a group that has worldwide ambitions and is now gaining the ability to carry out those ambitions.
Again, folks, those are the four authors of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We will be back with more of that discussion after this break. If you have not yet obtained a copy of this important book, you can find more information online at riseofisis.com, including links to all of the places where you can buy it. You can also find it in your local bookstores. Again, the book title, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Back with more discussion from the authors after this break.
It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Asia Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're coming to you from our studios here at the Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy, which, by the way, very first publication for our Oxford Center is The Rise of ISIS, the Threat We Can't Ignore. In fact, the logo of the Oxford Center that you see up here was actually right on the back of the book. Books published by Simon Schuster, available everywhere, and we're encouraging you to buy multiple copies and get it to your friends. It's out right now. We're talking about ISIS and the threat. Let me read to you from page 40 of the book. This was a statement by the Caliph Ibrahim. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is his war name, if you will. So to arms, to arms, soldiers of Islam, fight, fight. Rush your Muslims to your state. It is your state. Syria is not for Syrians, and Iraq is not for Iraqis. The land is for the Muslims, all Muslims. This is my advice to you. If you hold to it, you will conquer Rome and own the world, if Allah wills. So the idea here is a global conquest. Now, the problem is they are gaining both in manpower, their recruiting efforts, but also in territories. We're broadcasting this right now as we're filming this. They are 8 miles outside of Baghdad, but they've also, if you look at a map, and we'll show a map now, you could see where the cities are that they've taken. It's pretty breathtaking in scope. They've become effectively a state, David.
Oh, absolutely. They have they control territory that's the size of the state. And you know, when you listen to that, he's trying to rewind the clock to the glory days of the Islamic Caliphate, when Rome and the Roman Empire was considered to be their primary opposition. So he has ambitions, as you said, that are absolutely global. And when he talks like that, he's tapping into a deep desire amongst millions of Muslims, particularly young Muslim men, to become part of a new caliphate, a new glory days.
You know, we were in Oxford, Skip, and we actually, one of the people that we work with, one of the professors there, Farhang Jahanpour, a well-known expert on this issue, actually played for our group the video, and we're going to actually, I'm going to get that right now for television in just a moment here. We'll play a few minutes of it. It's translated. It was pretty breathtaking, and the nature of the delivery showed this idea of global conquest was front and center. I mean, they're not looking at Syria and Iraq as the goal here. That's why they changed their name.
Well, that's exactly right. The goal is a step at a time. They're going to start where they are. They've declared now the Islamic State. Remember, every piece of territory on the world, they believe someday must belong to Allah and must be under the control of Islam and Sharia law. And they're going to do it step by step. That's how the Prophet Muhammad did it when he started in Arabia and spread out. And that's why they want to do it again. And they believe that every piece of territory that ever was controlled by Islam becomes part of a trust for all Muslims. And that's why they're so upset when a piece of it gets lost, like to Israel or Spain, back to the Christians. So what they want to do is they need to win back the territory, and then they need to expand so they ultimately occupy the entire world, and it comes under the control of Islam. They go into submission to Allah, and they're ruled under Sharia law. And that's where they're starting now, and that's their goal, and that's capturing the imagination of many people around the world, especially these young Muslim men.
And Jordan, when we look at the recruiting efforts, we talked about this in the earlier broadcast, we look at the recruiting efforts, you see the beheadings, we're horrified, they're using it as a recruiting effort. And the question is right now, what's the sense in Washington on the nature of this threat?
That it's a significant threat. I mean, you've got this back and forth of, well, is it ISIS? Is it other terrorists who are coming through our very porous borders? So it seems pretty petty when they get down into the, well, it's this terrorist group, it's not actually ISIS, or, you know, the kid who traveled back and forth from the U.S., American, who ultimately was a suicide bomber. He was doing it for the Al-Qaeda affiliate, Al-Nusra, not exactly ISIS. This idea, again, the whole narrative that Al-Qaeda was on the run, that we had beaten back for the most part Islamic terrorism, and that there were remnants of it, but that was it, was so patently false. The Obama administration, I mean, how many airstrikes do they have to start? Is it Libya or since the Arab Spring, and now in Syria? And we're, again, airstrikes in Iraq. And this was a president so proud of, basically saying that they ended the war on terror, when in fact, their advisors knew that that wasn't the case. So telling the people one thing, but at the same time, we are engaged in the same fight that we were engaged in over a decade ago, even before the 9/11 attacks. And it was a fight on this growing threat of radical Islam to the United States homeland, and it's continuing today.
Let me read you again from the book. Grandiose threats are nothing new in the jihadist world, but what makes ISIS especially dangerous is its possession of both the means and will to carry out its threats. It is the best equipped, richest terrorist force in the world. And one of the targets of this group clearly has been Christians. The Christian persecution that has gone on has been outrageous. They're marking the homes of Christians with a symbol that stands for Nazarene. So we know that ISIS is focusing in on Christians. That's been Christians and Muslims that disagree with them. But they've really gone after the Christian community, and the brutality has been incredible. But now let's turn our attention to Hamas. And let me read you something. Again, this is found in our book. This is actually page 43 of Rise of ISIS. This is not information you're going to get anyplace else. We really encourage you to get this book and study it. You become the expert on a topic. We may be looking at the 30-year war here. I mean, this could go on for, it's intergenerational. So we have got to be understanding who we're fighting. We have to understand the nature of the enemy. So now let's talk about Hamas. They have the same goal, which is domination, the creation of a Sharia state, an Islamic state. But here's their goal, where Hamas is focusing on Jews, ISIS was focusing on Christians and other Muslims. Here's Hamas, from their charter, page 43 of our book. Our battle with the Jews is long and dangerous, requiring all dedicated efforts. It's a phase which must be followed by succeeding phases, a battalion which must be supported by battalion after battalion of the divided Arab and Islamic world until the enemy is overcome and the victory of Allah descends. So David, Hamas in its sights, again, is the creation of the Islamic State, but it is the elimination of Jews. It's not just the elimination of Israel. It's much broader than that. But clearly, Israel and Jews are the primary target of Hamas, while ISIS is focusing on Muslims that disagree, Yazidis, other religious minorities, and especially Christians.
Absolutely. Hamas wants to make, right now its goal is to make life in Israel so intolerable through terrorist attacks, raining missiles down on the civilian population, that the Jewish population of Israel grows disheartened. And if they ever got the kind of military power that ISIS has, they would spring out of Gaza, they would launch out of Gaza and try to attack and kill as many Jews as they possibly could. The only thing right now that is keeping the Jews of Israel from facing the same fate of the Christians of Iraq is the might of the Israel Defense Forces.
Jordan, let me throw this one to you here with Hamas, because you've been studying this for a long time and you've experienced it firsthand. Their tactic is to get into the community so that you cannot tell the difference. We talked about the law of war violations here between the civilians and the populace and the actual terrorist fighters. But there are reports that there may be upwards of 30,000 Hamas fighters, if you will, troops, available right now today in the West Bank and Gaza.
You know, that's right. And so the idea here that you've got the numbers ready to rise up when they feel like it's best for them. And so right now they're engaged. And listen, if those fighters want to rise up and try to fight Israel, that would be unsuccessful. Could they cause serious damage? Yes, but it's not going to work out for them in the long run. They know that. So instead, what they try to do is weaken Israel by gaining international support, giving fodder to the anti-Israel world at the United Nations and that community at the UN, which is unfortunately a growing community, the anti-Israel world. And so they're playing their part in what is ultimately this idea that we will take back our holy land, and that's how they see it, and then ultimately spread this throughout the world, as we've talked about on this broadcast. And it's not just about, this is not just about Iraq and Syria. ISIS keeps adding things to its name. First it's, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, then it's the Islamic State in Iraq, then it's the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, and really the term they're using for that Levant term is not just Syria. It's the ancient term for Syria, which includes Israel, it includes Jordan, it includes the entire region. And so that's why you've seen some Gulf state allies ultimately take up with our side here. But this is a major threat, and a long-term threat. And, you know, we have some of our leaders from the Obama administration, former Obama administration officials, saying this will be a decades-long battle. So this is not a fly-by-night situation. When they talk about degrading and destroying ISIS, that this will be done in a month.
Folks, we will be back with more discussion about the book Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, after this break. But as we go to this break, I just want to remind you, I want to tie this into another issue that we've been talking about this week. And this is, of course, the persecution of Asia Bibi, the Pakistani wife and mother who is imprisoned on death row because of her Christian faith and because of allegedly blaspheming the prophet. Folks, this is really the challenge of our generation. I truly believe that. The religious persecution takes the form of jihadi terrorism. It also takes the form of individual cases like Asia Bibi's. If you want to stand with us and demand that Asia be released, ask that our government do all it can to pressure the Pakistani government to honor their obligations under international human rights laws, I want you to call now 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org or beheardproject.com. Again, if you do not yet have a copy of Rise of ISIS, you can find information online at riseofisis.com, and we'll be back with the four co-authors after this break. I can't pretend it's just not real. The time is now. We must be strong and not allow it to prevail. Father in heaven, hear our prayer. Strengthen your souls washed in despair.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Asia Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asia Bibi now. call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We are going to get right back into this interview with the four authors of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. But just very briefly, folks, I wanted to make a comment or two about how this country is going to respond to these terror attacks that have occurred now in Canada, the latest in a long string of jihadi terrorist attacks. Let's call them what they are. The most recent ones, of course, were in Canada, but we know from ISIS that they want to bring this fight to American soil. They want to raise the black flag of Allah over the White House. They said, we will see you in New York. And they also have been very clear that they are trying to establish a global caliphate. And folks, the one-off attacks, some people call them lone wolf attacks. I don't particularly like that term. But these one-off attacks that we are seeing, they are directly in line with what ISIS is instructing their followers, those who are allegiant to them, to committing. So I think we need to be clear-eyed about the threat that exists for the United States. These attacks, these instances of terrorism, folks, they are not going away. It does not matter if we pretend that we are going to appease the world. These attacks are not going away unless we stop them. We have to be clear-eyed about that threat. It's one of the biggest reasons that Jay and this and our Law of War team wrote the book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. It is critical that this government and that the American people demand this government address that threat now head-on before more of these attacks happen. I'm not going to say that we can stop all of them, but if we accurately label who the enemy is, what that threat looks like, and how they are trying to harm us, we will be in a better position to stop those future attacks. It is something that has got to happen. We cannot have the President of the United States continuing to simply call these senseless acts of violence. Yes, they are those. But folks, that implies that we don't know the motive behind these attacks. That is simply not true. Those perpetrating these attacks have told us time and time again what motivates them. We cannot continue to shut our eyes to that fact. That's why Jay wrote this book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. You can find more information online at riseofisis.com. Let's go ahead and jump right back into this interview with the four authors of the book, Jay and Jordan Sekulow, David French, and Skip Ash.
I'm reading you something from the book. Hamas does not want peace with Israel. It will not negotiate a permanent peace agreement with Israel. Instead, it will only agree to intermittent truces when its military capabilities have been so degraded that it needs time to recuperate and rearm. And the reality is, David, we just saw that take place in this conflict this summer. This is what they ran out of ammunition. That's when the battle stopped.
Exactly. I mean, that's their strategy from the beginning, is they will fight. If they get beaten back by Israel, they will appeal to the international community for refuge. They'll use that time of refuge to get more weapons, to train more fighters, and then they fight again. This is what they're going to do until either they're destroyed or Israel gives up. So that's why this fight never seems to end. It's because they are dedicated to fighting until Israel is destroyed.
Let me read something from the Hamas Charter. Again, page 46 of our book, Rise of ISIS. This is Article 5 and 8. Allah is its goal. The Prophet is its model to be followed. The Quran, its constitution. Jihad, its way. And death for the sake of Allah, its loftiest desire. And despite their protests to the contrary, Skip, the charter also says Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam abolishes it. So if there's any question to anybody that these jihadists share the same goal, it says Israel will exist and continue to exist until Islam abolishes it. And that is, they're unequivocal about that, Skip.
That's exactly right. This is a religiously motivated group, Hamas. It's an outgrowth of the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood was a group that sought to return to the glory days of Islam. And they thought that one of the ways to do that was to create this caliphate. So we have this situation where Hamas is religiously motivated. They view the Jews as being interlopers and less because they're not from Islam. And therefore, they have not only a moral obligation, they have a religious obligation to Allah to destroy the Jews and to retake all of the territory occupied by Israel. So this is a religiously motivated group. They're a group that believes that martyrdom is the way, the only way you're sure to have salvation with God and acceptance with God, and therefore they motivate people to go out and to commit these crimes. And at the same time, they don't value life. They talk over and over again in this movement that you value life, we value death, and therefore they think they have an advantage because they will lay down their lives and they will kill anyone to achieve their goals. And that's why it seems to me that the West is really naive or intentionally blind when they sit there and they try to force Israel to negotiate with a group whose very purpose is to destroy the people they're negotiating with, and they do not compromise. So it is really incumbent upon us to recognize in the West what the true enemy is. If we don't know our enemy, Sun Tzu said, know your enemy, then you can defeat him. We refuse to recognize that the enemy is this religiously motivated form of Islam that will compromise with nothing to achieve its goals.
You know, it's interesting also, Jordan, is that Hamas is now partners with the Palestinian Authority, even though in their charter they challenged and chastised, this is Hamas, the PLO as being too moderate, too much negotiations, too much what they called accommodation. But now we have a situation where the United States is giving money, and we talk about this in the book, the United States is giving money to the Palestinian Authority, and the partner in the Palestinian Authority government is Hamas.
Yeah, that's right. And so we've got these situations again where the U.S., it just seems like we're fueling the enemy, and directly so, not by, you know, a back channel way, not by accident or secondary in nature. This is directly funding. They come up with these terms and say it's a technocratic unity government. And this unity government's had meetings even last week. They've already got meetings going on between Palestinian Authority officials and Hamas officials in the Gaza Strip. And this is taking in hundreds of millions of dollars from the United States directly, from all of us. And we know this is a group, again, we keep referring back to their charter, this idea that they launch rockets at kids. And they support this idea of suicide bombing, this idea of jihad. They are terrorists. It shouldn't matter if it's a technocratic government, if they send some representative who he's not technically in their armed wing. We should be giving a dime to these groups, ultimately. That's the truth. But we are. We have to face the reality that we are. And so what do we do about it? We talk about in the book the idea that you're not going to be able to stop these groups like ISIS. You're not going to be able to stop Hamas if we ourselves are providing them funding.
So what we want you to do is two things. One is the book is called Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. I encourage you to get the book. Very important. You're going to get great details, great information. Well footnoted, too. You can see in the back of the book, we've footnoted everything. You'll actually have the Hamas, portions of the Hamas charter in the end notes of the book. So we really want you to read it cover to cover. It's available in bookstores everywhere. You can order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart. Everybody's carrying it. But you can order it today. We encourage you to do it. Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. And we really encourage you to buy multiple copies of it as well. When you get the book, Rise of ISIS, you're going to get the song, Where I Stand, as well. There'll be a link right in the back of the book, actually. You get to page at the end of the book under acknowledgement. It'll give you the download information on where you can get the song when you buy the book. Where I Stand is part of the package of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We encourage you to get that at bookstores everywhere.
Again, folks, those are the four authors of the New York Times best-selling book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Skip Ash, and David French. If you do not yet have a copy, go to riseofisis.com. You can buy it online through the links that we have listed there. You can buy it in your local bookstore. Make sure that your friends and family have a copy as well. Folks, it could not be more relevant. All of us have to know the nature of the threat represented by ISIS. You can get that education by reading Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Azia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Azia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers with the people of Canada with this ISIS-inspired attack. The guy was on the watch list, both of them, both the one that killed earlier in the week, the soldier, and the soldier yesterday. Both of the ones that did those acts of terror. That's what they are. They're not violence. I mean, of course, it's violent, but it's acts of terror. We're on the Canadian watch list, but nevertheless, so you can't, well, there's, I think, 900 people on that list. It's very difficult to watch everybody on it. So this is a troubling and tragic situation. It's one where resolve is necessary, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to hear a lot more on these topics, also topics about our books. We're glad you're back with us for the second half hour of the broadcast. Let me again announce, this is a big moment for the ACLJ, and this would not have happened without all of you. We got word last night from our publisher at Simon Schuster, Howard Books, that we were selected by the New York Times as the number one New York Times bestseller for paperbacks and nonfiction. Rise of ISIS, a threat we can't ignore. There is no way this would have happened without you, period. This was, the Lord obviously inspired us to get this going and the project, but if you didn't support the project, it would not have happened. Now that we want to do is keep this momentum building as the ISIS threat. I believe we've seen it twice now in Canada, once in the United States, that beheading in Oklahoma City of that grandmother a couple of weeks back. Same thing. These are ISIS-inspired events. This is their modus operandi, and we've got to take concrete action. Again, the book Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, available in bookstores everywhere, now in New York Times, number one bestseller. Than Bennett, head of our governmental affairs. Let's talk about Asiya Bibi here before we go to the break. What's the next move here? We're up at about almost 167,000 signatures. What's the next move?
Yeah, every time we engage these cases, Jay, we do it in a multi-pronged layer. One of those prongs is here domestically with our lawmakers. The first effort in that prong is this congressional effort that we are leading. We are working with Congressman Joe Pitts, Senator Ted Cruz. They have drafted a letter, Jay. It is ready. It is ready to go. Right, what we are doing right now is circulating it in both the House and the Senate. The letter will go to Pakistan. It will clearly outline their violations of international law as well as basic human rights. Here's the main point. We send $2 billion a year to Pakistan. These lawmakers are going to say, we control those purse strings. If you do not work with us on this case, if you do not release Asiya Bibi, we are going to take that into account when we pass this authorization next year. We will continue circulating that letter into next week, Jay, and then it will go off to the Pakistan government.
On Monday and Tuesday of this week, we had Shahriyar Gill on the broadcast. He supervises our work in Pakistan. And Skip, of course, he works under your arena in our international and global practice and national security issues. But on this particular thing with Pakistan, and this is a U.S. ally, and you would think we would have the basically the cachet to do something here. I mean, this is the answer. They get $2 billion of aid, and it's a U.S. ally.
It is a U.S. ally, but it's an ally that's been troubled of late. You know, there was a dictator a few years ago, and he started this whole move towards implementing Sharia law. And since that's happened, it's sort of taken off. So what has traditionally been an ally of the United States has now become caught up in this whole movement to implement Sharia law. And because of that, we're now running into more and more problems as the Saudis provide money for these madrasas to teach people about Sharia law.
Our other ally, I might add. Saudi Arabia is also our ally as well. These allies, we got to start holding these people accountable, these governments accountable. You know, Pakistan signed on to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, also the ICCPR, but obviously they're just ignoring it for the purpose of Asiya Bibi's case. This is a mother of five, folks, Christian woman in jail, death by hanging. Her crime? She said, Christ is the true prophet of God, when asked by a Muslim woman who was in a discussion with her. After Asiya offered the woman a glass of water, but she refused it because she was unclean. Asiya was unclean. That's how they view it. So we want to work on her release. ACLJ.org, BeHeardProject.com, or 1-877-989-2255. We've got a lot more ahead. Let me encourage you also, go to your bookstores today or go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and get Rise of ISIS, The Threat We Can't Ignore. We encourage you to get multiple copies so you can get it into the hands of friends of yours to read this issue. We're dealing with ISIS right here in the United States now, folks. We talk about all this, Hamas, how it affects the Middle East, all of this in the book, Rise of ISIS, The Threat We Can't Ignore. And you also get a link to the song, Where I Stand. And by the way, the acoustic version of that's going to be out on Facebook, on my Facebook page, on Saturday with our good friend Ricky Skaggs. Back with more in a moment.
Yeah. It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Asia Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Well, the truth of that song, Where I Stand, more evident today than it was even 2 weeks ago. We've got this case with Asia Bibi, the Christian mother of five, sentenced to death by hanging because she said Jesus is the true prophet. Again, sign that petition so that we can get this working at the UN. You could do that at BeHeardProject.com, ACLJ.org, or 877-989-2255. Simultaneously, we want to encourage you to continue the movement. We've started a movement with the book Rise of ISIS. This was a bit of an experiment for us at the ACLJ. We set up our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. As you know, we were there this summer at Harris Manchester College. Skip Ash and I were really working on putting this whole book together. David Frenchton did a great job editing and adding to it when we came back, Jordan as well. And we put the book out. We did not know what the reaction would be. We do know now. And it is a number one New York Times bestseller, which to us is absolutely a blessing and incredible, and that means we're educating a lot of people. And certainly when you're the number one on the New York Times list, people are taking notice, including the New York Times. So that's something we're very encouraged and excited about. We were number three in ebooks, number one on paperbacks. That'll be out November 2nd on the list. There'll be more. We posted information already on Facebook. But again, if you haven't bought a copy of it, let me encourage you to do it. Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. It's available in bookstores everywhere. It's also available in an audiobook. You can get it. It's still on an ebook. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, Costco, Sam's. The list goes on and on. Literally everywhere books are sold. Rise of ISIS. And get multiple copies. Get it to your friends. Let me get to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. First, Than, the reaction from the president, and I don't know if we have any of the sound from the president on this. We do. But first, what's the reaction right now on Capitol Hill with this? Because this took place, folks, so everybody knows, at the Parliament. This was basically at the Capitol in Ottawa. What's the reaction in Washington right now, Than, to the situation in Canada?
Yeah, to be honest with you, Jay, there's a pretty big contrast here. The Prime Minister of Canada sounded awfully presidential, and to be honest with you, it was pretty refreshing. The President Obama, Jay, he again called this senseless violence, and I know that sounds like an innocent throwaway line, but what I'm hearing on the Hill, Jay, is that words matter, that this wasn't senseless at all, and there is great frustration on the Hill that we continue to ignore or at least shield or mask the very clear motive that's going on here. This is not a hidden motive. As you know, Jay, you've written about it in the book. This is a motive that is being broadcast. We know the motive behind these attacks. It's not a game of semantics, and what we call this, Jay, is important, because if we refuse to clearly identify the nature of this threat, it is coming to us. It is going to happen. We have got to identify it if we're going to stop it.
The president's statement, not like the Canadians, the senseless violence, number 25.
We don't yet have all the information about what motivated the shooting. We don't yet have all the information about whether this was part of a broader network or plan, or whether this was an individual or a series of individuals who decided to take these actions. But it emphasizes the degree to which we have to remain vigilant when it comes to dealing with these kinds of acts of senseless violence or terrorism.
Yeah, you know, senseless is, violence it is, or terrorism? No, it's terrorism. I don't know what the reluctancy is, Skip, of the White House to call these things. I mean, the guy who's screaming Allah Akbar in the, you hear it on some of the video that they had. I mean, this is like calling it workplace violence. This is ISIS morphing in the United States, in North America. This is how they're going to do it.
You're exactly right. You know, we have to admit that not all Muslims are terrorists.
Right.
But these days, virtually all terrorists are Muslims. And we have to recognize that there is a large group of Muslims who are using a philosophy and interpretation of the Quran and of the Hadiths of Islam to justify what they're doing, to justify beheading those who don't agree with them, to justify killing fellow Muslims who refuse to recognize their interpretation of Islam. The United States, the President of the United States, has to recognize this. The only way you can actually combat an enemy is to recognize who the enemy is. And the President absolutely refuses to do that, and that makes it much more difficult. I was inspired by the Canadian Prime Minister, who got up and called a spade, and he said, "This, we're going to stand against this." And the President of the United States, the greatest nation ever to exist in the world, refuses to take a stand and to fight the enemy that's facing us right now.
Well, let's listen to the words of Prime Minister Stephen Harper this morning. Here's what he said.
Make no mistake, even as the brave men and women of our armed forces are taking this fight to the terrorists on their own territory, we are equally resolved to fight it here. We live in dangerous times, yes, but the mission of our country and the work of this parliament goes on.
I will tell you, I'm going to be with, Skip will be as well, with the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister of Canada, Brian Mulroney, this weekend at Regent University for our Clash of the Titans event. And obviously this topic will be front and center. Than, there is a concern. The FBI issued a bulletin warning law enforcement about these kind of ISIS-inspired attacks. What is the sense? I mean, is there a sense of heightened security? I know you said yesterday it's always very tight where we are at our offices. What is the sense, though, about that issue as far as getting our resources in the United States up to speed on this?
Listen, I think it's crystal clear, Jay, that how the U.S. responds in this moment is going to impact how well we're protected, not just here around the ACLJ office because we are in the middle of the action, but across the country, Jay. I mean, all you have to look at is exactly what Skip alluded to. ISIS has said, see you in New York. They have said, we will raise the black flag of Allah over the White House. They have said, we are establishing a global caliphate. And, Jay, maybe most directly, they have encouraged exactly the kind of one-off attacks that we saw just the last couple of days in Canada. So the sense here on Capitol Hill, at least among lawmakers, is that we better get our act together because it is going to directly impact how successful these one-off attacks are in the United States of America. It is coming. The question is, are we going to respond soon enough?
You know, Skip, when we were at Oxford this summer researching this, we spent hours and hours in that library at Harris Manchester College looking at papers that our clerks were putting together and research that was being done and discussing these issues. We had a sense, even before the beheadings were public, even as it was just developing, that this was a new kind of threat. This is not operating in the caves. They are going to try to inspire. They're encouraging these lone wolves that have an affiliation. The fact that they're lone wolf folks doesn't mean they're not ISIS-inspired. They are ISIS-inspired. So tactically, this is a fairly easy way. I hate to say it right now, but these two guys that were involved in the ones in Canada were both on Canadian watch lists. And they were still able to do it. So this is a methodology that ISIS is employing now, where they are using troops in Iraq and Syria and gaining more ground. And the Yazidis are now under more attack again by ISIS, which Christians are as well. In the United States and Canada, North America, they may operate differently. But this kind of thing, it does bring terror and not only kills people, but tries to bring economic terror, too, if they were to do this in a mall, like we've seen in Kenya and some other places.
Absolutely. And what they're trying to do is every time there's a little success, and they view each one of these attacks as a success, that encourages more people to come out and do the same thing. We've got to stand firm. Our president has allowed the entire southern border of the United States to become so much like a sieve that we can keep nobody out. That's a prime way that these people can come into the United States. Canada is standing firm. Canada is pulling passports of its own citizens who are tending this way, and the United States refuses to take minimal action to stop our own citizens and to go after our own citizens. But it's exactly right. We have to recognize that even Al-Qaeda, which killed 3,000 people on 9/11, even Al-Qaeda views these people as being scary within the Islamic community.
Right.
And yet we don't take action against them. We don't view them like that, and we need to, because if Al-Qaeda views them with alarm, we should definitely view them with alarm.
You know, CNN, not exactly a conservative news source, has put together, and I think this is exactly the point, folks, that their news report says Canada shooting raises fears of ISIS connection, because they, of course, Canada's had two, you understand, in a week. So this has been, and it's both been aimed at military or that kind of target, or governmental targets, as it was at the parliament. Canada had approved air combat missions against ISIS this month, so this is, again, a retaliatory move. But listen to what our friend at Fox News correspondent David Miller had to say about this situation.
And about Bibo's past, we know that in the last few years he did grow more religious. Media reports now say that Bibo had a relationship, knew another jihadist who recently traveled to Syria. This other jihadist apparently is now being sought. He has disappeared. This other jihadist apparently wanted to join terrorist groups.
The concern is with these, Skip, is that when you have these, there may be multiple sets in play. In other words, you've got one now, maybe things, I mean, they're back to normal tomorrow. And they're saying it was one shooter, but the reports yesterday were there was one shooter, but there may have been another person assisting in the car driving. And that has not been confirmed. But the concern, of course, is that there's multiple people involved. In other words, this was one incident, which was, well, two incidents. You had two separate incidents in Canada. Is there a third, fourth, and fifth? That's what you're always worried about.
And I think that's what we need to be worried about. If these things will begin to grow if they become successful. People begin to see this as a way of taking the jihad to the Western world, to Canada, to North America, to the United States, and so forth. They're going to encourage these young men and these young, even young women. They're going to encourage these young people who are caught up in this and believe that this is a righteous act to go out and murder others. They're going to catch the imagination, and then the United States and Canada and the Western world is going to have to meet this head on. We cannot sit on our hands. We have to recognize the threat for what it is, and we have to take firm action right now.
All right, folks, we've got two things we want you to do. Be educated and informed. Again, a huge thank you. Number one on the New York Times bestsellers list for paperbacks coming out November 2nd is when the list will be out. The book is now in bookstores everywhere. Let me encourage you, get Rise of ISIS, a threat we can't ignore, and get a copy or two for your friends. Very, very important that we do that, that you do that as we continue the momentum to educate everyone in the United States. And I know the book's being distributed now around the world. We've got to be prepared. We've got to take this to them, so we don't allow them to take this to us. Call us at 877-989-2255. Like our information on Facebook. Share it on Facebook. And remember, Rise of ISIS, a threat we can't ignore, now a number one New York Times bestseller. Back with more in a moment.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Azia Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Azia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Azia Bibi now. Call 1-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877- 1-888-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. We're going to be joined by Eric Stackelback from CBN News, their terrorism correspondent who's done great work on this area in just a few moments, so he'll be joining us. But let me give you a brief update on what's happened. You know the situation in Canada. Two soldiers are now dead because of at least ISIS-inspired terrorists that are Canadian that also were taking up arms with the enemy. So it's reached the shores of Canada, North America. I believe that beheading of that grandmother just a couple weeks back in Oklahoma City is the same thing. This is the tactic ISIS is going to try to inspire here, and I think that's the reality of what we're dealing with. On a different note, our book Rise of ISIS, we got word last night that Rise of ISIS will be number one on the New York Times bestsellers list for paperback on the list that comes out November 2nd. That wouldn't have happened without all of you. And we encourage you to get copies of Rise of ISIS. Keep the momentum going on this as we try to educate people around the world. But literally, we would not have been able to have a number one New York Times bestseller without your support for this book. So we really appreciate that. We're fortunate now to have on the phone with us a very good friend, Eric Stackelback from CBN News, an expert on terrorism and ISIS as well as the other groups. And we drew the relationship when the last time we were on the air between ISIS and the Muslim Brotherhood and of course, Hamas. And a lot of that's in the book, Rise of ISIS. But Eric, your reaction yesterday to the situation in Canada?
Well, Jay, look, I think this is the new normal. As you were just saying, we can expect more of these self-starter, lone wolf-type jihadist attacks on European, Canadian, and, God forbid, American soil. A few weeks ago, an ISIS spokesman called for exactly this, for sympathizers to lash out and attack soldiers, civilians on Western soil. Jay, what they want is an insurgency on Western soil, a guerrilla war. They want to turn America, Canada, and Europe into a battlefield. And if we see more attacks like we saw yesterday and on Monday in Canada, and like the beheading in Oklahoma last month, look, Jay, if we see this on a consistent basis, on a regular basis occurring, which we may, because ISIS is a whole new level, then we have a major problem on our hands.
You know, when we were doing the research on ISIS this summer in Oxford, I'm really looking at this last year, we got the sense that they were going to operate on what I'd call two operational control and command centers. One would be what they're doing in Syria and Iraq, Eric, which is more of a military aspect, different than Al-Qaeda in that sense, not hiding in caves, but operating as a full-blown military with probably somewhere between 35 and 45,000 troops now. They're recruiting every single day. Hamas does a very similar type of situation. They've got about 25,000. Collectively, you're looking at 70,000 jihadist troops in the Middle East region. And then we were under the distinct thoughts as we were looking at this, what are they going to do in the United States? And we sensed there, or North America, that they were going to be recruiting Americans, which you know that we know they've done, and they're going to do exactly this. Their recruiting may be just inspiring these kind of activities. It's the beheadings, it's the shootings, military targets. There it was just a grandmother. I mean, you know, who had no military connection. The FBI sent out an alert last night to police officers and law enforcement, as well as to military, to be on the lookout for this. We're talking about the new normal, but this seems to be their two-pronged way of approaching things, Eric, at least right now.
Jay, I think that's a great way to describe it. They have the terrorist army in the very heart of the Middle East, but here in the West, they have a network, a growing network of sympathizers and supporters who in many cases have never even traveled to the Middle East. But Jay, they're radicalized online many times. Look, ISIS has such social media savvy. This is jihad 2015. I mean, these guys are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and they're making jihad seem cool for these young people. We had three girls just this week who tried to travel to Syria, join the group. Thankfully, they were apprehended. These three girls were from Denver, comfortable middle-class existence, but the lure of this Islamic State, they're telling young people in the West, look, you can be a legend. You can be part of something big. We're forming this caliphate. You can be a holy warrior here. You can have fame. Your life will matter. And that is resonating with young people across the West.
Let me ask you this as well, because this is something, Eric, I know you've been following. When you look at the jihadist groups now, do you think ISIS is the most pronounced and most dangerous?
I do, Jay. I do. I mean, number one, they control a vast amount of territory. They're having great success. And the way they are able to resonate with young people, it's another level. When you compare ISIS's official magazine to Al-Qaeda's magazine, there's no comparison. ISIS has taken it to another level. A big reason for that is because of the thousands of Westerners who are bringing Western pop culture to the Middle East and blending it, and hip-hop culture, if you can believe it, and blending it with jihad to make this appealing, sadistic package that is resonating here in the West. I think ISIS is another level. They are the cream of the jihadist crop right now on every level.
You know, this is, as you say, it's such a sobering thing and somber that this kind of approach has been successful. And it has been successful. I mean, this is the, and we've got to have the will. I mean, we've got the ability, the United States and our allies, to deal with this. You got to have the will to deal with it. And I think one of the things we point out in our book, Eric, is that, you know, you got to exercise that will. And that means you've got to call the nation to action again. You can't just say, well, it's over there, because right now, as of this week and last really 3 weeks, it's not just over there. It's here.
No. And, you know, President Obama calls the Oklahoma jihadist beheading workplace violence. I mean, Talk about willfully misleading the American people. You know, Jay, it was nice yesterday to hear the Canadian Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, say this was terrorism. We need that kind of moral clarity from our leadership. We don't have it right now. President Obama says the Islamic State is not Islamic.
Yeah, tell that to Khalif Ibrahim, by the way, that it's not Islamic.
Yeah, yeah. This is willfully, it's dangerous, Jay, because look, the media, academia, and especially the government, these are the gatekeepers, and they are willfully misleading the American people. It is a dangerous, dangerous thing. This administration knows the seriousness of the threat, yet they're not letting the American people in on what they know. If you don't know the enemy, you can't defeat the enemy. It's the first rule of war. Know your enemy. We have a lot of confused people right now inside the Beltway where I'm sitting.
Yeah, I was just talking with Than Bennett from our Office of Governmental Affairs, and I played in the previous segment of the broadcast, I played those bites, Eric, because they are the president, this act of violence. You know, this is this, I hate saying this, but this is almost like he's in denial. Because his narrative of the Middle East has just fallen apart. It just hasn't worked.
Yeah, and this is a guy who cannot admit, as we know, Jay, when he is wrong. And look, the Middle East, everything going on, Iran driving for a bomb, this is a distraction from his domestic agenda to fundamentally transform America, in his own words. So all of this going on, he wants ISIS and Iran to just go away and leave him alone, basically. Real quick, Jay, in terms of that terror attack in Jerusalem yesterday, here's an example of where we're at with moral relativism.
By the way, barely got news mentioned.
Exactly. The State Department apparently is urging restraint on both sides.
Eric, I want to appreciate you coming on. I appreciate so much your great work covering this for CBN News and all the other networks you appear on. You're really representing all of us there, and I really appreciate it. Thanks for being on with us today.
Thanks, Jay. Anytime.
All righty. Eric Steckelback from CBN News, a great terrorist correspondent, really knows the issue. Folks, we need two calls of action right now. Number one, let's not forget Asiya Bibi in all of this. A mother of five sentenced to death for saying, Christ is our prophet. That was that caused this. You can go to BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org and sign that petition. Or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. To get your name on this petition that we're going to circulate around the globe to get work on her release with other people that are working on it as well. It's a global effort here with multiple organizations, as always, on these cases. I also want to say again a huge thank you to our Jay Sekulow Live listening audience. Because of you, we got word last night from our publisher, Simon Schuster Howard Books, that Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, number one on the New York Times bestseller list. But let me encourage you to go out and get multiple copies for your friends. It's, again, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Walmart, Target, Costco, Sam's, wherever books are sold. Get Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We've got a lot more ahead. We'll be back with more in a moment.
We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asiya Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asiya Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.